This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So that Meatloaf passed away. That was a bummer. I always liked Meatloaf's music, and I remember I went right to Eddie when I saw it. Because I had remembered that Eddie had a Meatloaf connection somehow, some way. And that connection was, that's what your go-to karaoke song used to be, right? Was Meatloaf?
Yes.
So I definitely saw you at some point in my life in a bar with your hair down singing Meatloaf. That definitely has happened in my lifetime. Would you be willing to do that today?
Like today or?
Like today, yeah. Like, would you be willing to sing a verse of a Meatloaf song karaoke-wise today in honor of him?
Like on the air? No. I would need to get a couple of pops in me.
You really couldn't just do it?
No.
To honor him?
Not really, no.
Okay. We can get you a couple pops.
Was your go-to song, Blinded by the Dashboard Light?
You mean Paradise?
Paradise, the dashboard. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Blinded. Never thinking about the
Bruce song. Yeah.
Yes.
What's the Sleep On It one? I feel like that's the one you could sleep on it.
You
that's,
like that
that's
one?
Paradise.
Yeah. All right. So that's the one you would
actually
do.
That whole I'm Bad Out of Hell I could do, all revved up I could do.
Well, let's do it then. Today's the day.
Yeah, I think you should do it.
Prayers up.
Maybe you just practice it a little bit, get used to it, and then maybe around the 9 o'clock hour we just unveil it.
I'll do it with you if you want. I don't mind.
No, you gotta be drunk.
Yeah. All right, well, you got the Casamigos in the office if you want some.
There's plenty of alcohol in this building. We can get you some alcohol. But then you got to drive home, unfortunately.
Truth, yes.
Right. Okay. We mentioned earlier we expect to hear a Giants general manager candidate a little bit later today. By the end of the day, they will name a new GM. We do believe that they are leaning towards Shane from Buffalo, and we don't know if that is going to turn into Brian Daboll. And then you'll have a full Bills connection. There's that. The Knicks were terrible last night in his divisional playoff weekend in the NFL. All that is out there at 877-337-6666. Let's go to Jamie in New Jersey. What's going on, Jamie?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, not much. I was just listening to the radio this morning, and Sal was talking about he made his picks, and he had picked the Rams to beat the Bucks this weekend. And I know they're a good team, and I know that 49ers are a good team, but I think that next week having the Bucks play the Packers is a lot more juice. And to be honest with you, I kind of want to see the Bengals versus the Bucks in the Super Bowl.
Bengals-Bucks in the Super Bowl. Interesting.
I like Joe Burrow a lot, and I like Tom Brady, even though I'm a Jets fan. He don't play for the Patriots anymore, so you know he's kind of grown on me because I like great players and he's a great player. So
yeah, I would say Bucks Packers again would be a sexier matchup than the Rams and the Packers. I would say that. And as far as the AFC, yeah, it would be really exciting if the Bengals were there because that's fresh and it's new and that would be fun.
I just feel like the Bills have been ascending.
Yeah,
you know, you remember how like the Chiefs were ascending under Patrick Mahomes second year.
Right.
And they couldn't get there, and Brady knocked them off. And then they finally got there, and they finally won. And then they got back there, and then they lost.
Absolutely.
I kind of feel like the Bills have been building over the last three years. Nice hat out. And I don't know. Just there's something about the Bills and Josh Allen and the way he's playing and the fact that their defense you know, is one of the best defenses in the league throughout the season. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. You can make an argument for any one of these teams to win.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, I really want to pick the Bengals to win, but I'm just, even though you're picking the Bengals, you've gotten me off of them because of all this offensive and defensive line talk and how everybody's healthy with the Titans, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen and every yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, my under-the-radar player is Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay.
Defensive tackle for the Titans. That guy's had a great, great season. And, you know, that offensive line of the Bengals, you know, Joe Burrow makes them all better.
For sure.
They've been good. But when you have those three wide receivers and C.J. Uzama as a tight end, you know, teams are worried about the big plays. And when you look at all of the statistics that the Bengals have, maybe the most impressive statistic for me is yards per attempt for Joe Burrow and the amount of big plays that they create. And so that creates maybe a 6 or 7 man box, not an 8 man. You know, they're not really thinking run first. They're thinking pass first.
Yep.
And that's why the other running back in this game, Joe Mixon, who gets no love for, you know, outside of Cincinnati, could play a big part in running the ball successfully against a very talented defensive line.
Let's go to Rob in Middletown. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, man?
Not much. I got to defend Sal a little bit here. He's getting a bad rap. So he's an avid Falcons fan. He's seen everything that Dan Quinn has done, right? I'm an avid Jet fan. I've seen everything that Todd Bowles has done, and everybody's kissing his butt around the league like he's going to be the next greatest head coach in the league. I've seen what he's done. Sal's seen what Dan's done. Now he has a valid point of why everybody's thinking, he's going to be Dan Quinn's going to be this next greatest coach.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's saying that Dan Quinn's going to be the next greatest coach or Todd Bowles going to be the next greatest coach, but I mean, I know what you're saying, but there's a difference between the Todd Bowles trajectory and the Dan Quinn one. And so Dan Quinn, he was 8-8, 11-5, 10-6, 7-9, 7-9, and then 0-5 before he ended up getting fired. And they made the playoffs 2 out of those years and made it to the Super Bowl, obviously, in the 1 year where they ended up blowing the Super Bowl in the most embarrassing fashion.
That was also in a division that had Drew Brees and Cam Newton as an MVP.
That's right, at that time. Where Todd Bowles, he was 10-6 that first year, then 5-11, 5-11, 4-12. Now, I know that the rosters were totally different, and Dan Quinn had Matt Ryan, and Todd Bowles had nothing. I do understand that. But, you know, it's still hard to compare the two. And, if I trust Sal's opinion on his own team, there's no doubt about it, because he sat there and watched it. The only thing I would ask him is, when he got hired, Dan Quinn, and Mike Smith left, who was his favorite coach of all time, I don't think he ever gave Dan Quinn a fair shot. Like, he wanted him to fail so he could be right about it. And then that tainted his view of Dan Quinn forever.
Personal.
Well, yeah, not against Dan Quinn, but just personal to him.
It feels personal to me.
Personal to him because he wanted to be right.
But I'm just saying, like, that's why he's throwing all the smoke out there.
Sure. Yeah, well, that smoke that apparently BT does not want.
Right.
Yes, as he said in the overnight show this morning, BT doesn't want my smoke. Let's go to Kyle in Oak Ridge, New Jersey. What's going on, Kyle?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Friday.
Yeah, feel good Friday.
So I just wanted to talk quickly about a possible Giants candidate. You guys talked about him yesterday. First of all, I hate everything Eagles as a Giant fan, of course, and I don't like Doug Peterson. But you guys were talking yesterday about Peterson, and you were talking about how he won a Super Bowl with Foles. The other thing I think he's got to get credit for is, Carson Wentz, we see what's happened, since he left and even after everything that went down. But anyway, Wentz, Peterson got the best out of Wentz. It just doesn't seem like we're going to ever see that Wentz again. And I think he deserves not only credit for winning with Foles, but Boomer, you made the point about Wentz being an MVP candidate when Peterson was coach. So maybe this is a guy, even though I would hate to see it.
But you would hate to see it just because he won a championship with the Eagles for no other reason?
Yeah, what he did last year, too. I didn't like that move. With the
yeah, right. Nate Sudfeld. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Unless you could do a lot worse than a guy who won a Super Bowl in that situation. And he was calling the plays. He delivered a championship to a hungry city who was dying for one with their football team.
They have a statue up of him.
And they have a statue, and then they got rid of him a couple of years later, which is just crazy.
Bud Light, though.
Yeah.
It's not like a statue that's just a statue. It's a statue brought to you by Bud Light.
Yeah, I don't know. You think that Peterson and the Giants is a match?
You know, I think Doug Peterson would be a match for anybody, actually.
Yeah.
I you know, I'd rather see him go to a, like a, you know, this is a really crazy place. And right now, if it's Shane, which I believe it is, if the moment he gets a job, he'll realize just how crazy this place is.
You're talking about the New York market and
yes,
being
and
a
the Giant fan.
The Giant fan. Yeah, okay.
Look, the owner has now reacted to the Giant fan base like four different times over the last 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically the fan base. And maybe the other partners in the room, maybe the Tisch family in the room too, because you have to remember, all right, they're partners, and the Tishes own 50% of the team. And, you know, they're out in public too. You know, they're out, they hear it. And they get pressure from their friends, their inner circle, and you know they bring that to the meetings, and then everybody reacts to things, and that's why they can't keep anybody here. I'd come in here as a coach. I'd be like, really, I'm not accepting anything less than a 6-year deal. If you really want me, I want a 6-year deal, and I want a freaking commitment that you want me to rebuild your team. And if we have, you know, a 2-year down period like Zach Taylor had out in Cincinnati.
Sure.
You're going to support me, that you're not going to be pulling the rug right out from underneath me.
Well, isn't that exactly what Joe Douglas did when he got the job as Jets GM? He asked for a 6-year deal?
Because that came right on the heels of the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch situation out in San Francisco. You remember how screwed up San Francisco was?
Yeah.
And then they go and hire Kyle Shanahan from Atlanta, and they gave him an unprecedented 6-year deal. And then came, I believe it was right after that, John Gruden's 10-year deal came.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, like I'm just, and I know every guy out there wants to be a head coach. They all think that they can make it better. And I'm sure every GM that has an opportunity thinks that they can make it better. But I wouldn't trust this ownership, would you?
No, how could you? I mean, I also think that, you know, there are people who finally get an opportunity to run a team that say, well, I'm going to be the different guy. Like, I'm going to be the one to turn it around.
Well,
you have
Joe
to have
Judge was trying to be that different guy, and then you saw what just happened.
No, I know. There's plenty of examples. Plenty of examples.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are guys there that are at the top, and I would think that Brian Flores would be that one guy that's probably on the top of 2 or 3 teams list right now. And the agent's going back and forth and trying to figure it all out. The other thing, too, remember, we always talk about this, is that, you know, coaches are available now to be hired. And when a coach gets hired, an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, they got to come in and they got to build a playbook. They got to basically build everything from scratch. And then they got to evaluate all the players. They got to decide who's out there for free agency. They got to decide who's going to be drafted. Hopefully it's a collaborative effort, man. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. That's why the Giants, they're going to sign them. They're going to announce their signing today. That's what I believe.
They're going to announce.
The guy, hit the ground running and let's go.
Yeah, announce their new GM later on today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What's happening, Jerry?
We're powered by Superbook. Now open with better odds and favorable prices. Maybe we'll get some production for this for next Friday. But remember there was that book, Saturdays with Maury?
Yeah. Tuesdays with Maury.
Yes.
From Mitch Album, right?
Yes. So I think perhaps we can do Fridays with Sal.
Okay.
I think it's possible. Maybe we'll save all the stuff from the week, and then we'll have Friday mornings with Sal.
Perfect. That's great.
So, just because you went over it, I decided to give you the rundown of how this all happened.
Okay.
So I'll take you to Thursday morning. This is where this starts. Brett was the caller, and everything sounded fine. This is how things started Thursday morning.
Brett is calling from Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Brett. How are you?
All good.
I'm not saying Dan Quinn is my first pick. We probably won't get him. But the way you're speaking about him, I feel like you're coming from an angle of being bitter.
Okay, so that's how everything starts.
Yeah.
And then things would kind of escalate to a point where these two had had a... Now, they were, in fairness, saying two different things. Sal's point was, how in the hell is Dan Quinn the guy you're reaching out to first when you don't even have a GM, when he was a failure as a coach in Atlanta in his eyes? There are other candidates that are more home run hitter
sure.
type candidates. Well, the two weren't seeing eye to eye.
Hey, Brett, being a fan of the team has nothing to do with it. That's number one. Number two.
There's always a bias that goes into it.
No, there's not. There's no bias. Hey, Brett, you idiot. Get lost. There's no bias. Okay, so stop saying that. I call it how it is.
So that's Thursday.
I mean, why does he call everybody idiots and morons?
And those are his favorite words. Now, so that was Thursday. And then Thursday, the radio station posted a video of Brandon Tierney and Tiki Barber. They were talking about Quinn. And so Sal caught wind of it. He saw it. He says, Quinn stinks. And then he does reference BT in this first clip.
What's the appeal of Dan Quinn? He's a good guy, a rah-rah guy. Players love him. Really nice guy. But not a good head coach. And then today, and I called him out on Twitter for it, and he didn't respond. He doesn't want this smoke.
There it is.
He's talking about BT.
Doesn't want this smoke. Told you.
This is where he explains the BT connection from the video clip.
BT says, quote, well, he had great success with Atlanta. Quote, Dan Quinn had great success with Atlanta. Now, I got a problem with that because it's not factually correct. So I tweeted him and said, well, when exactly did Dan Quinn have great success with Atlanta, BT?
All right, so then he sets the record straight, and then we'll bring it back to Brett in a moment. This is a long clip.
I want to right the wrongs. That is an incorrect statement. How could you say that somebody had great success with a team when he had the worst loss in the history of the sport in the Super Bowl, when he took over a ready-made team with the offense and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he wasn't even good enough to survive that? He got fired from his job.
All right, so you see where he's going.
Yeah.
Now we come back. He's gone after Brett, BT. I give Brett credit. He called again this morning.
Oh, did he?
Oh, he did.
Oh, wow.
And once again, Brett got under Sal's skin about Dan Quinn again.
You gave Shanahan the pass. That's why I think you're bitter and biased towards the head coach.
You are a moron, and leave me alone. Don't call me anymore with your nonsense. Get lost. Get lost. You don't know what you're talking about.
Pretty funny. And so I don't know if you want another one, but that was pretty much the gist.
I think we get the gist of it all.
How everything happened.
Remember how calm overnights were with Tony Page easing you into the night?
I think Brett at one point said, I want Tony Page back.
Really?
I think one of the callers did, yes.
It was just like Tony talking to people about their experience going to Mets games, you know? Oh, so did you get that new sausage and peppers? Yeah, I did. Was it good?
You are a moron.
Tony could have his moments.
Yeah. Man,
stupid?
We went from one extreme to the other, though, really honestly.
Come on, man.
Yeah, well, Tony did have his moments. That is very true. It took a lot to get him there. But when he got there, he'd get on you.
He's an ass.
I will tell you, though, that Tierney's probably driving in and listening right now.
Yeah.
And he heard Sal say that BT doesn't want this smoke. I'm curious to hear BT's take on this. I really am when he gets in here.
It's on.
It's on.
It's definitely on.
We got to see if BT wants the smoke or doesn't want the smoke.
Is this the...
He doesn't want this smoke.
He doesn't want this smoke.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, well, those two are very good debaters.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So we shall see how that goes. All right, what else? Did I do, Superbook? Now open, better odds, favorable prices, in case I didn't. Divisional round of the playoffs. So let's hear from Mike Vrabel, because you've got the Titans and Bengals to kick things off tomorrow afternoon. He was asked, do you approach this like it's just any other game?
Well, I would never say it's just a game. You know what I mean? This is, you know, our families are invested in what we do. You know, this is all we know.
Yeah, and they're the one seed, too. So you better go out and win this game, although it won't be easy with that Cincinnati offense that they do have to deal with. And Cincinnati a little healthier, too. Defensive end Trey Hendrickson clears concussion protocol, should be good to go. Now, for the Packers, Randall Cobb is coming back, expected to play for Green Bay, but Marquez Valdez-Scantling listed as doubtful for this game with a back injury. The Niners healthy. Bosa and Warner are expected to play as well. It's going to be frigid in Lambeau Field. Here was Kyle Shanahan. How do you prepare for it?
It's not about getting used to it. It's about going out and doing it for 3.5 hours and getting your mindset that I can do this for 3.5 hours and focus on the game and everything.
You know,
I don't think you go out and...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we always talk, oh, it's going to be really tough to go into Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers in January.
Anymore. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The Giants did it. The 49ers have done it.
The Falcons did it way back
then. Tampa
Ryan.
Bay did it. The yeah. Falcons did it. I mean, like, there's a lot of teams that have gone in there in the playoffs and have beaten them when they have been favored significantly.
And that was after a very long run where they never lost playoff games there.
Right. That's why I think initially...
That was mostly Favre, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But that's when you mostly think, okay, they're really tough to beat there. But then you look at it and you say, wow, all these other teams have won there.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers' playoff record is not great.
It is 12-9, I think.
I mean, for a guy who's as good as he is, 12-9 doesn't sound great.
Yeah, but you know, he's got 45 touchdowns, 13 interceptions in the playoffs. I mean, he's got great playoff numbers. You know, a lot of times their defense collapses, too. They also lost to the 49ers 2 years ago out there in San Francisco.
Well, that was the Raheem Mostert game where he just ran all over them.
And that was the 49ers who went to the Super Bowl and almost beat the Chiefs.
That's right.
Bucks-Rams Sunday at 3. Here's Jalen Ramsey. Says you cannot. He was the one that did the, not going to win, we're going to win this bitch,
yeah,
right?
We're going to win this bitch.
Right. He says, so he obviously faced Brady once before. He says, this time, this game against this team, you cannot make it all about Brady.
I'm excited just about the opportunity, not necessarily like that is him and his home stadium. It's just I'm excited for another opportunity to go out there and try to get a win.
Well, we'll see if they can get a win Sunday.
We're going to win that bit.
Yeah, any word on Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle for the
Buccaneers?
You know,
I haven't seen. It's a good question because, boy, he was hobbled really bad last week.
I know he was in a walking boot most of the week. Here we are on Friday already. Hopefully.
Well, and they put him back out there after just a few plays, and he pulled up lame.
Yeah.
And Brady almost got killed on the one play. So, I don't know. We'll see. And then the weekend does wrap up with the Chiefs and Bills Sunday at 6:30. And as soon as we hear something from the Giants about their new GM, we will let you know. Expected. We think it's going to be today. What is it? Shane, Poles, and Peters, the three finalists.
Yeah. We think it's Shane. I think it's going to be Shane, and I think they'll announce it this afternoon.
And he from the Buffalo Bills. Pelicans, Knicks, last night in the Garden.
B.I. shovels near corner. Josh Hart fakes the three, drives to the paint. Hang in the air, but missed the layup, but he took the rebound away from Randall. Now up top, Graham, straightaway three. Good! Heat check, Devontae! The boos are raining at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, they were. 102-91 the final. Pelicans beat the Knicks, and I was trying to find, because I just figured it would be a good game to hear from him, some Julius Randle side.
Yeah, he didn't speak after the game.
No, he didn't.
It's just terrible.
It's just something weird going on with him, man. It's like, it's almost like he's pouting.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And who did he get into it with on the court, too? Which teammate was he yelling at? Because I saw that clip as
Fournier.
Well.
He was slapped his hand away.
Right.
Yeah, it was, and that was when he was walking off the court and the whole technical foul thing.
This is, let me just tell you something, man.
It's a mess.
It's amazing how quick it's happened.
But, I mean, he did everything right last year. Said everything right. Played amazingly.
Was a
leader. And all of a sudden, he, like, regressed in all facets.
Totally thinned skin.
Yeah,
really. Everything is, like, getting to him, and he's acting like that. And maybe he plays better on the road because he can't stand playing in New York and doesn't want to play in front of these fans. That's why I think the Cam Reddish deal means other things are coming. He's got to be a part of it. They got to get rid of him. They just do.
He has gone from, and I'm no Knick fan, but he was one of the most likable, I would say, players last year to...
Yeah.
I don't know what this is anymore.
And you said they were booing him as soon as he touched the ball in the first quarter?
After he missed his first couple of shots. And then all of a sudden, not when he touched the ball, when he would miss, I mean, they were booing the hell out of him.
Yeah, they're all over him.
They're all over him.
And I'm not saying that it's easy to play under those circumstances, because certainly not. But if we know anything from being around here and growing up here,
sure.
When a guy starts getting booed, that guy usually gets moved. Or gets cut, or gets just whatever.
Well,
it just happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's generally the outcome, but it doesn't mean he can't turn it around.
Oh.
But right now, it doesn't look like he's in the space to turn it around. He doesn't seem right.
There's just some sort of lack of confidence The body language stinks. Screaming at the official, getting teed up. I mean, it's all ridiculous. The whole thing looks ridiculous.
You mentioned Fournier because of what happened with the two of them. The two of those, Randall and Fournier, were a combined 3 of 17 last night. So, tough, tough night shooting for both of them. Randall just 4 points. Fournier had six. Here was Tibbs. Got to figure this out.
Some nights we have the starters are playing great and the bench is struggling and, you know, and vice versa. We got to tie it all together where we're playing well.
That was not the case for New Orleans. All fives, they had six players in double figures, all five starters in double figures as well. Josh Hart had 17. Valanciunas.
New Orleans.
I know.
It's New Orleans.
I know. Who's in the first month of the season was one of the worst teams I'd ever seen.
You know, they needed to win these three games. They got the Clippers coming up on Sunday and then they go on the road. I'm at, maybe they're a better team.
Maybe
that
helps them.
I don't know. It's just.
Haven't they been a better road team than home team, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do not want to play in front of their fans.
Very strange. Pacers beat the Warriors in overtime, 121-117. Suns over the Mavericks, 109-101. Tonight, you've got the Nets in San Antonio against the Spurs. Not sure. This could be another Caprisolo. I don't know what the deal is with Carino, if he's back and better. Indiana beat number 4 Purdue last night, 68-65. UConn beat Butler, 75-56. Kevin Ollie will get his $11 million from Connecticut because an arbitrator ruled that he was improperly fired. So that's a big payday that he will get what he was owed.
How are you improperly fired? I'm fired.
I don't remember this.
Like, what do you have to do to fire a guy?
There were, like, recruiting allegations, that sort of thing.
Is that what it was?
It wasn't, you know, they can't just say you suck as a coach, you're out. They had
why
some
can't
sort
you
of
say why? You suck as a coach and you're out?
But then you still have to pay him.
Oh, because he has a good point. Contract. In other words, they did not want to pay him after they fired him because they felt like he broke some sort of recruiting rules and everything else, right?
Okay. That makes sense. Baseball.
If he did, then you fire him and don't pay him.
Well, that's exactly what happened. That's what they did.
Tried to do, and the arbiter said, not so fast.
So he'll get his money. We're at January 21st. Usually we'd be about 3 weeks away or so from pitchers and catchers. Right now we're in Nowheresville. But the two sides are expected to speak again on Monday. I know the owners already made one proposal. Players hated it. We'll see what the players come back with. I think they came back with something, too, that was declined. But they're going to get together on Monday.
So this really comes down to about service time. That's what I think. I think if I were a player, I would be arguing, okay, if you're using analytics to show that when guys hit 31, 32, 33, their numbers go down, therefore you shouldn't be paying them then. Then as a player, I want my service time to be shrunk and I want to be able to make money then when my analytics are saying that I'm the best player, because you're underpaying me when analytics says I'm in my prime and you're overpaying me when analytics says I'm past my prime.
It really seems to me a silly thing to hold up the sport. I really believe that. Like, you got billions of dollars in play here. Taking a year off service time would knock the sport out? Why?
So you would tell me that Aaron Judge, when he was 25 or 24 years old, would be approaching his prime.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's when he should be paid. However, because of the way that the system works, Aaron Judge is going to be, what, 29 years old this year?
Probably, yeah.
Right, somewhere around there. So, and he still hasn't gotten a contract, and they're talking about not even giving him a contract until after next season.
I mean, his arbitration numbers are very high.
I know that, but then they'll argue that, look, he's approaching 30, and this is what happens to a guy his size. They don't make it, you know, until they're 38, so you can't give him an 8-year deal, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I would argue from the player's side of things that it takes so long to get to that point where you can get a long-term guaranteed contract for most players.
Yeah. But there's also guys we've seen taking less money and more years early than buying out those arbitration years. I mean, I'm sure if Aaron Judge's agent had gone to the Yankees and asked for something like that, they would have done it.
And the Rays just did that with their 20-year-old shortstop.
Right. A lot of the smaller market teams do that.
Yeah, well, I think the teams initiate those conversations. The player and the agent does it.
Maybe, but it is a win-win for both because he got more money than he ever thought he'd make, even though it might be less than market value depending upon how he plays in a couple of years. But boy, he's got a lot of security. The baseball.
That's one player.
Yeah, no, but it has been done in a couple of cases, but you're right. It's not a lot of them. MLB did deny a plan by the Rays to move half their games to Montreal, so they'd be like a split team. So right now they're the Tampa Rays, and that's not changing. And the NHL tonight, you got the Rangers in Carolina, and you got the Islanders taking on Arizona.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role,
like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Man, I tell you, these teams are afraid of the opposing fans taking over their buildings. I think a lot of this had to do with what you saw from the 49er fan in L.A. the last week of the season, really taking over that building. And now I'm seeing that the Titans are going way out of their way to try to keep the Bengals fan out of their building.
You know, it's an easy drive from Cincinnati to Nashville. That's why. And it's close, and the Bengal fan has been ignited now that they have an exciting young quarterback, an exciting coach. You know, Jamar Chase throw the ball down the field. It's fun football again, and the Cincinnati fan has been sitting on the sideline for a long time. I told you my nephew's gone to the game.
Yeah, I mean, but where are all these people that were talking about how popular the Titans were? Remember when we were talking about the Titans? Oh, Nashville loves the Titans. Titans this, Titans that. You shouldn't have to do this. You think they're doing this in Green Bay?
Oh, no.
No, and what they're doing, I should try to explain because I'm a little bit confused by this. So the Titans are trying to keep the Bengal fans out. They made a change to their ticket policy. The tickets purchased directly through the team or approved NFL sites cannot transfer until 24 hours prior to kickoff, which means Bengals fans cannot make plans ahead of time to attend.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the NFL should require every single team to make, you know, tickets available to everybody. And, you know, and that's, you know, to me, that's discriminatory.
It is.
And quite frankly, it's anti-NFL. The NFL is a community. It's a big family. We're all a part of it.
I would agree.
And, you know, to me, Sal Acotta may hate Dan Quinn for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sal and Dan and you and me and BT and Al and Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow and, you know, Eddie George. I mean, we're all part of the NFL family.
Oh, really? We're all a part of the NFL family.
We're all part of it. And, you know, radio stations all across the country this morning, they got their own Football Fridays going on.
Sure, of course.
But you got TV shows devoted to nothing but football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a little bit more of everything. But
yeah.
The fact is we're all a part of the NFL family.
That's right.
And I like it when stadiums are packed. And, you know, we used to have 10,000 Steeler fans invade Riverfront Stadium.
And you like that?
I did, because then when we went to Three River Stadium, I don't know, we didn't have 10,000 fans, but we had our group of fans that would follow us and be there.
I've seen this before. I actually think it happened in hockey, where there was a team that said it was a playoff series, and in order to buy the tickets, you had to have a zip code, or you couldn't have a zip code in the opposing cities.
And you could not wear a jersey. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning who did that, I believe, with the Penguins, I think. Maybe even the Rangers. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's bogus, man.
You know, yeah, it is discriminatory.
Come on. Stop. Knock it
Bull
off.
Crap.
Let's go. Let football fans be football fans and embrace the challenge and embrace their newfound excitement for some of these franchises, like the Bills fan. The Bills fan, over the last 3 years now, has been in the mix.
Yeah, how did Randy get tickets? You help him out with that?
So he no, I did not. He didn't frozen. Ask me to help him out. I just had to get him dinner reservations at Jeff Ruby's
down okay.
in Nashville.
All right. Nice. Of course.
But Jeff Ruby is from Cincinnati, but he does have a restaurant in Nashville.
Okay.
And he put a tweet out saying that, you know, the Nashville Jeff Ruby's would be a safe place for Cincinnati fans to come and have dinner.
Oh, nice.
Oh, he's just a beauty.
He's
a marketing genius.
Marketing genius.
Right.
Let's go to Joe in Seaford. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning, boys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you
what's
too.
Up,
Joe, what's happening, brother?
All is well. I heard we were talking about Peterson possibly to the Giants. And listen, obviously an upgrade. Anything would be an upgrade at this point. But I was wondering, and I don't think any coach has ever won a Super Bowl with two different teams. Is that correct, Boom?
I'm trying to think.
I mean, Holmgren didn't do it. Shanahan didn't do it.
I don't think so. I'm just trying
no,
to
right?
Missing anybody? I don't think we're
nope.
missing anybody.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think that. You know, listen, it's just a nugget. That doesn't mean you don't hire him. He's certainly an upgrade.
Yeah, you know, and the one thing I will say is I believe that he would be able to be a very good communicator here for the media, which is, I'm telling you, which is a part of this whole thing, Joe. And, you know, and to me, it's the same thing with the general manager. You know, the general manager's got to stand up there, and he's got to be able to kind of lay out a broad plan, but at least appear to be competent in his first initial press conference. I mean, like, there is something to winning the press conference. It's not everything, but there are communication value. A value is valuable to the fan base because you're representing now the team and your belief, and the team is hiring you because you come from a successful background, but you also have impressed them with what you think the future holds for your team.
You know, what's interesting is Joe Judge actually did win his initial press conference, but it ended up being him talking too much that was in part of his reason for being let go. You know, I mean, we all loved hearing that stuff before he was the coach, but then after seeing the team the first 2 years, especially this past year, none of that stuff meant anything.
I still think for Joe Judge, he had an agreement with John Mara. John Mara told him, look, clean up the locker room. That 10-minute diatribe that we've talked so much about now was a reminder to the owner that, hey, this is what we have been talking about. This is what I am trying to do. And maybe I've been doing it behind the scenes. You have seen it. And, you know, you can't fire me because this is what I'm trying to do. This is the hard, you know, moments that we're going to have that we got to get through this. I don't know. Zach Taylor won 6 games in his first 2 years in Cincinnati. Cincinnati fans wanted him fired. And I was like, Mike Brown is not firing him.
Yeah, especially after Joe Burrow goes down.
Right. And the one thing that Mike Brown knew, and because Mike Brown's been around a long time, man.
Yep.
He knows quarterbacks. And he knew that he had a special kid on the roster. He just had to come back from his knee injury. And once he finally came back from that knee injury, you know, the team took off. And there's a belief now in that team because of, I think, the quarterback first, as you said yesterday. But the quarterback-coach relationship is the most important relationship on the team. And they seem to be in sync with one another.
Let's go to Corey in Islip. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Good question for you. I just want to know what you guys thought.
I think you have. Did you get that? Just to make sure, positive.
Yeah, yes. I double tapped.
All right. Very good. Well, the initial question was interesting. Before he said what he said at the end,
I didn't hear what he said. So
he said, "F Aaron Rodgers." Okay. Is what he said.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, it was an interesting question. I think. Anybody who hasn't won a Super Bowl or gotten to a Super Bowl, for that player to get over that hump, the legacy is more important for, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, he has won one before, so at least he has that.
And he'll probably, I think he'll probably win the MVP award.
Yeah, and he's got...
he's the all-pro quarterback, so therefore he'll be the MVP. I just, you know, man, they're both under an extreme amount of pressure, you know, and they failed last year at home against Tampa. You know, and think of that sequence of events that happened at the end of that game.
Oh, no. It was, of course. And we were talking about it for days afterwards.
And then you think about the off season and everything that's gone on around Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Us notwithstanding. Man, I'll tell you, there is an awful lot of pressure on him. But then again, the move of the off season was the trading for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, pressure and legacy are two different conversations, though. And I think this guy was asking about who's it more important for as far as their legacy goes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has done way more than Matthew Stafford has.
Yeah, so you would say that for his legacy and moving forward and to live up to why they traded for him, going on the road, going into Tampa and winning in Tampa, yes.
Let's go to Danny in Virginia. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, y'all.
What up, Danny?
Not a whole lot. Hey, Boomer, you're one of my favorite quarterbacks, man. Watched you when I was a teenager growing up. You did an awesome job at the Bengals. Made that trip from Cincinnati to Pittsburgh a few times.
I appreciate that, Danny. So what's happening today?
I'm curious. Been a Dallas fan since I was knee-high, but I've read a thing on ESPN, and I've been listening to everybody trash Mike McCarthy and say he needs to go and everything. And I'll just be completely honest. I've watched Dak Prescott, and he's not a consistent quarterback to me. And I don't know that you can blame it on the coach. And, yeah, there's been some poor time management issues and this, that, and the third. But if he was consistent, he could do in every game what he did getting into the playoffs.
If he was consistent, he could do what he did against Philadelphia when they didn't play anybody, and what he did against the Giants when they didn't play anybody.
Well, they couldn't play anybody.
If you remember, Jason Garrett came in here. They had no reason to play, and he had Dak Prescott throw 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened 2 weeks ago when they went to Philadelphia.
That's
Philadelphia didn't play anybody. They threw the ball 50 times. He threw 5 touchdown passes. The statistics look great. Everything looks fine, but what's going on? And there is something to be said about, like, this is why he's not a top 5 quarterback. He's definitely in the top half of the NFL. He's definitely the great face of that franchise. There's no question about that. He carries himself 99% of the time, with the exception of being fined $25,000 for the snide comment about the officials on Sunday. He's a great guy, and he's a really good player. He is a really good player. He's not Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. And he's not Justin Herbert, and he's not Joe Burrow. All I would take every single one of those guys over him in a minute.
Yeah, no, you can't argue it. And unfortunately for Dak, you know, they were really rolling offensively before he got hurt last year. And then, you know, he came back this year and was great in the beginning of the season, but then really tailed off in the second half. And I think you look at that offense and say that it's a massive underachievement for them this past year with the weapons on that team.
Well, massive. Their offensive line also got hurt, and they had problems internally there. But, you know, Dak has gotten hurt a couple times now.
Yeah, sure.
That's the other thing. You know, most of these guys have been able to stay upright for the better part of their career and lead their teams to Super Bowls. But, yeah, I would. He's a good player, you know, and I liked him when he was at Mississippi State, and I love what he did when he took over for Tony Romo, and I think he's been a great face of that franchise and a really good player.
Yeah, it was fun listening to you and Tony Romo have conversations yesterday in your apartment. I like that.
Were you like eavesdropping?
I was eavesdropping.
What was the purpose of the call?
I don't know if he can share that.
Yeah, well, we were talking a little bit about the games coming up this week, talking about possibly him doing something that I had done for somebody, and I was recommending it to him. So,
Athletic Greens?
He may be on Athletic Greens, how wired he is for these games. He's actually talking to him on the phone. Yeah. It's pretty funny because he's as wired on the phone about the game as he is when he's doing the game. You know what I mean? Like, he's so into it, it's ridiculous.
So it would be so awesome if they went for 2, but they're not going to go for 2. No one would go for 2. It would be so awesome, though, Jim. Oh, they're going for 2!
But it's like he, you know, he's on it. You know, what can I tell you? He loves it. He loves his job. That's all I can tell you. Much like I love my job. So
yeah. Well, everybody loves their job, getting paid $17 million, too, right?
Well, that would help.
Yeah, just a little bit.
To go play golf and miss weeks.
Yeah.
Well, almost. That didn't happen.
Well, yeah, but if he went and played better, it would have.
But it didn't happen, all right? So stop saying that.
But it would have.
But it didn't happen. I was ready to go.
Yep.
I'm always ready to go.
And by the way, if it comes up again, it'll happen.
So you see what happened to Charles Davis.
Yeah, COVID protocols. They've moved up Trent Green.
So Trent Green gets to do the game down in
should have called you. Why not have you do it?
Because I'm not one of their, in other words, if it was regularly during the year where all the analysts have their games, then maybe that would be the case. But, you know, the only reason I was asked to do that game for Tony was because everybody else was working.
Yeah, but this is the Bengal game we're talking about, right? It'd be perfect.
I want to be with my guys in the studio.
Okay. I don't know. If I were over there, I was McManus or I was Burson. I saw.
Well, if you were McManus and you were Burson?
Yeah, I would say.
How about Mr. McManus and Mr. Burson?
Yeah, Mr. McManus. If I was either of the misters, McManus or Burson,
right.
I would say this is a perfect opportunity to throw Boomer in that booth.
Get him out of the studio.
Perfect opportunity. No, not to get you out of the studio. I mean, to have you at that game.
I can see Phil rooting for that.
Yeah, certainly. Yes, we know.
And then you could still do Sunday.
Yeah, it could have, yeah.
We could have went with you, take us out to in Nashville.
That would be awesome.
You guys would have loved that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On the arm?
On the arm. Yeah, on the arm. Everything on the arm with you, Eddie. I got to tell you, though, you know, yesterday, our deal yesterday...
Yeah.
I didn't realize, you know, I've been up there. a number of times, not where we went yesterday.
Yeah, we went up to Westchester County.
Well, North Salem.
Yeah.
And it was like a winter wonderland up there.
It really was.
In horse country, yeah.
Not far from the Mass border, right?
Yeah, Danbury, I guess.
Connecticut border,
yeah. It's right on the Connecticut border.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, we left the farm with farm fresh eggs.
Yes, that's the other thing, too. We got farm fresh eggs.
Yeah.
Multicolored, by the way.
Multicolored farm fresh eggs. And, we met all the chickens that had names.
There were about 25 chickens running around.
And there was a big, was that a horse?
Riding arena.
Riding arena, yeah.
Take care of your chickens.
Take care of your chickens, Al. That's
comes
right.
out of the chicken vagina.
All right, it's the Boomer and Geo, Bill Ford, Top Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.